All right, let's go ahead and jump into the Bible tonight. We will start, actually in the book of Psalms, if you want to turn to the book of Psalms. And Psalm chapter 27. I know a couple still dealing with some sicknesses here and there, but I will praise the Lord. There was definitely a lot of talk of, you know, it being pretty bad out about this time of the day, and the Snowmageddon really didn't happen, so praise the Lord for that. But it's good to be able to come to church and have service together. Amen. We were meeting this morning on our call and gave a devotion, and in the midst of that, we were talking about we started there, then we went somewhere else, and we're going to look at this thought tonight. And it's in reference to seeking God's face. And so the question tonight is, are you seeking God's face? Amen. And what does that mean? And we're going to look at some passages and reference that. And it's really kind of fascinating. And so in Psalm 27 and verse number 8, there and then we'll be in 1 Chronicles 16. But in Psalm 27, 8, it says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And of course, this is David. And so we see that he was told to seek God's face. And then David said, thy face will I seek. And we're going to find that wasn't just for David and a few in the Old Testament. This is for you and I. So the question is, do we even know what this means? What does it mean to seek God's face? And then, of course, on the backdrop of that, I hope by the end of the night you can answer that question, whether or not you are actually actively seeking God's face. But let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, God, what's good for tonight. Thank you, God, for what you're doing here in our church. And I know many aren't able to be present with us tonight. And we lament that fact. Actually, Lord, we like it when we have a lot of our own folks out and others. God, just it's important, God, to come together on that end. But for tonight, I just pray, God, you bless, Lord, those that have made it out and those that are zooming in. God, just meet with us tonight and help us tonight in your word. I pray that this topic would be one of interest for all of us as we consider that topic, that thought of whether or not we are or not seeking your face as the scriptures would command us to. And so help us with this thought tonight. Give me clarity as I bring forth this message, Lord. And I pray that you'd help all of us to gain some understanding tonight. Lead and guide by thy Holy Spirit, we pray. We sure do need you, Lord. Without you, God, we're going to mess this up. But God, with you, we know that we'll all be helped. And that's what we need tonight. Might you be glorified throughout the midst of our time together tonight. And might the saints here be helped tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And so talking about seeking the face of God. And of course, this would, in a sense, be seeing God face to face, right? And do we see God? Do we have a relationship such that we can? And by the way, what a blessing that God has invited us into his presence, right? We've been invited to come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Amen? And so praise the Lord. You know, it's not just enough, I don't think, in a Christian life just to know of God. We want to know him. Amen. Paul said he wanted to know him and even the fellowship of his sufferings, to know him. Amen. And so just real quick to kind of get us on topic here, what are some things that we could maybe identify in reference to if we were going to be seeking somebody's face amongst our own group or someone that you know, if you were seeking somebody out, like I want to see them face to face, what does that mean? Micah. Okay, you want their, so you're trying to find them and then talk with them, right? Face to face. So that would require that there would be a face to face meeting, some attention. And by the way, we know each other well, and it's not hard for each of us to get a face-to-face with each other, but there's a lot of people that it would be hard to get a face-to-face with, right? I don't know why you'd want to, but if you were to try to get into the president's office, amen, right? That might be difficult to have a face-to-face with him. Probably even our own governor, the mayor, right? Different officials, different people of companies and all that. Probably even some religious leaders, right? I'm sure there are some churches, I mean, if they're running thousands of people or even some even less than that, just in the hundreds, sometimes it's hard to get a face-to-face just with the pastor, right? And or maybe some other leaders. So a face-to-face, that is a very precious thing. And here we have the God of heaven saying that we need to seek a face-to-face with him. That's pretty precious. That's pretty amazing. Amen. And so if we were to seek a face-to-face meeting with somebody, it is definitely a personal thing. And we would want to be there as a face-to-face because we would want the meeting to be more personal. What do we lose when we communicate with people and we're not face-to-face with them? What do you think? You lose that facial expression side. And what do we lose in that? Why is that a problem?
The meaning of what you're meeting for. The meaning of what you are coming together for.
What you're talking about, maybe.
Yes.
The meaning.
Because you're, even though if you don't speak, your emotions, your stance, your attitude.
It all says something, don't it?
Everything
sure
does.
Is.
Yes. You don't have to even speak to each other.
Jessica?
Non-personal.
Non-personal communication? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is definitely a non-personal side of things, yes.
It's leaving it up to their interpretation of what you're saying if they
Without.
Can't really see what you're trying to say. Like, especially in texting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rarely
oh, we use emojis.
Yeah.
Those are faces.
Yeah. Yes, something.
Is that personal, woman, you were trying to talk to?
Hey.
He's a male. He's a male. You know how there's a little disconnect there on you know, just words? There, no slight. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Sorry. But no, there are, like, whether there are economic issues, social issues, gender, different things that, if we're just giving words that different groups of people do, in a sense, interpret words differently than others, right? If two guys are talking, saying, you replace that one guy with a gal and you're saying the same thing, definitely it's going to be different, right? The interpretation of those words are going to be just the way it is. And so, but if you're face-to-face with them, there is a better chance that you are going to be understood and that you're going to understand them. But what if all we ever do is study the Bible without seeking God's face? What have we done? Yes.
Made it a chore.
Well, that's not such a chore, but we've taken that expressive side out of God, right? And now the word is just abstract. And a chore in a sense that it would be harder just to interpret the word without the facial expression. Have you ever thought about being able as a Christian actually to seek God's face on these things? That's pretty powerful, right? Yes, Kyle Thomas. And I think, like with Luke, I was listening to some of his last communications before he took off from South Sudan to Sudan, and he was talking about how just being there among the people and seeing even the physical needs, it's affected him, right? And so you can hear about that stuff, but until you're there face to face, it's just, mine eye affecteth mine heart, it says in Lamentations. And so definitely, and it's not just the long distance eye, but that right there connection is very, very vital. Look over at 1 Chronicles. I have a lot to give you. I'm going to go ahead and move on. But in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, it's the day that the Ark of Testimony was placed in the tabernacle by David. And this is what is written here in 1 Chronicles 16, 7. It says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." Verse 8. This is what David said. He said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." Seek the Lord and his strength. Watch this. Seek his face continually. Very interesting. Comes back to the thought and the question. Are we seeking God's face? Is your relationship with God one-dimensional, or is it more three-dimensional? You are engaged in a real relationship with the God of heaven, that personal relationship, such that you have a face-to-face relationship with God. Look over at 1 Kings 13. In this text, Jeroboam, he actually asked a man of God to entreat the face of the Lord for him. And this is that guy actually that would leave Jeroboam and then go, and he disobeyed God and would end up getting killed by a lion. But before that happened, amen, in 1 Kings 13, look at verse number 1. It says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name." And so this man of God came in, and he's ultimately going to prophesy against Jeroboam and against Judah. And watch what happens. It says, "And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high place that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And he gave a sign that the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him," and his hand which he put forth against him dried up. And so the king said, "Seize that man, lay hold on him. He's prophesying things against us. We want to basically we're going to, you know, teach him a lesson to do that." And as soon as Jeroboam put his hand out, then his hand dried up so that he could not pull it again to him. Then it says in verse 5, "The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before." The point of this is this, is that Jeroboam had a need, and he said, just a standard prayer, and just uttering a prayer. I'm looking for someone that can literally enter the presence of God before his face and take my need there. That was actually something that really Jeroboam said, I don't have that ability. I am not able to enter into God's presence like that, but you, man of God, obviously are. Entreat the face of God for me. And I would say this about everyone that names the name of Christ. If you don't spend time in the presence of the face of God, you aren't much of a Christian. Amen. If you don't know what it's like to spend time with the Lord face to face, then you're not very dynamic as a, you're not very powerful. You don't know what it's like to meet with God and have a friend named Jesus. Amen. It's all just superficial. It's all just abstract. It's not dynamic. It's not real to you. Amen. All these people that say, yeah, I got 45 million friends online. That's a whole lot different than I have a close friend and we actually see each other and can go places together and we see each other really, really face to face and we actually talk face to face without a screen. I mean, that's a whole lot different, isn't it, to have a close friend right there with you than having a bunch of friends out there somewhere in cyberland. Is that different? You might call them both a friend, but one is a very close friend, and the other is just a friend, maybe a friend afar off. And there's not much of a relationship with them, but there sure is a relationship with this one that is right there by your side. Amen. Look over at Daniel, Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel set his face to seek God, to seek God's face. He set his face to seek God's face, and it was just after this, in Daniel 9, that God gave Daniel the prophecy of the 70 weeks, the 70-week prophecy of Daniel, which was a full, just a real quick snippet of time of all the kingdoms all the way through the tribulation period unto Christ and that him crushing the toes. And I mean, just absolutely amazing what God gave him. Amen. After he spent time face to face with God. Daniel 9:3. It says, and I set my face unto the Lord God. And by the way, that's the only way you're ever going to find yourself in the presence of God's face is when you first set your face unto the Lord, right? You ever been in a class or maybe a parent or some authority, whatever they say, you need to look at me. Look, pay attention to me. Look at me, right? You can be in a room with somebody. You can be in a service like this. You can be in a class. You can be all kinds of places. But if you don't purpose to tune in, you're there, but you're not there. That's why a lot of people come to church, but they really don't get much out of it because they haven't purposed to tune in. But if you purpose to tune in, by the way, the service goes a whole lot quicker. Amen? And you actually get something out of it. Win-win, bonus. But that's what this is. So it's not about God setting his face towards you because it already is. It's about us setting our face toward God, making it a priority to be face to face with him. In Daniel 9:3, it says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Verse number 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. So here we have this situation where Daniel, he purposed to set his face towards God. And as he communed there in those verses and with God, and then he's able to make a request like this before God, God, now please shine right there as I'm seeing your countenance. Shine your face, please, upon the sanctuary that is desolate. Basically, Daniel's saying, we've been taken out of our land. It's been destroyed. Oh, God, please shine your face now upon that place. And basically crying out for the restoration. Look over at Exodus 33. You know, Moses, he asked to see God's face. And God said no. But then later, repeatedly, God said, you saw my face. Very interesting. I want to show you that. It's very, very, very good. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. So Moses said to God, please, they're up on the mount. He said, show me your glory. He says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, we know, of course, this would be that that I believe that that physical incarnation of God right there with Moses as he walked by, and he said, "You cannot see my face in this state." But then we're going to find that he did see his face in some other contexts. If you look now at chapter number 33 and earlier, verse number 9, it says, "And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended." Now, this would be before this, of course. "And stood," he says, "and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, and every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses," watch this, "face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." And it was after this, that this was one time and another, where after this event, Moses just shone with the glory of God. I mean, being in the presence of God, his visage changed. Moses being in God's in presence, as it's talked about here, he was like so bright that he couldn't even look at him. Amen. It affected him so much. And this is the point. When we spend time with God face to face, it affects us. Amen. It affects us, and others see it. Others understand it. But notice in this text what it says. It says, "Face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Do you have that kind of relationship with God where you can speak with him like he's your friend? Some people have a relationship with God where they just speak to him like he's some uninterested, ununderstanding ogre, unpersonal. You know what I'm saying? Some people have that view of God, and sometimes it's because they have a bad view of what a father figure would be, right? Sometimes people speak to God like he's an abuser. "Oh, God, please don't hit me. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt. I know I did wrong. Please don't break my back on this one," right? Sometimes people speak to God that way, like he's an abuser. Like if you've ever been abused, maybe from that experience, you've kind of, in a sense, took that, and that's how you treat. But that's not how God is not an abuser. Amen? God is not impersonal. God is not uncaring, unloving. He's long-suffering. He's meek. He's gentle. He's God. He wants to be your friend. Amen. Do you have that type of relationship where you can talk to your friend God about anything? Do you know, if you have a true friend, You can talk to them about anything. Nothing you say to a true friend gets a bad response. Nothing, right? They might have a little hard day, whatever. I get it. But in general, good friends can talk about anything, and even when it's something they don't agree with, they can still come together and talk through it. And do you have that kind of relationship with God where he's your friend and you seek his face? You seek that connection with God. It's not, you know, if you're one of those that when you're talking to people, you're always shifty, you're looking down, looking around. There are preachers. I don't know if this bothers you. I've been under preaching and they're looking up there at the corner, and then they're preaching away, then they're looking back there, and then they're looking there, and they're looking over here, preaching away. Like, and they never look at the people. Does that bother you? Do you notice that if you're in a service like that? I know my wife does, and I know I do. I'm like, man, that guy wouldn't even look at us, right? I wonder how God feels when we're throwing prayers here and there, but we're not seeking his face, which means we really don't care what he says. We just want him to hear what we have to say, right? If you can't look at somebody, it's because you really don't care what they have to communicate. You only care about what you have to say. And you don't care if they get it or not. You got it out there. That's all you care about. But with a real vibrant relationship between us and God, we do care what God says. We do care about the emotion that he generates to us based on our actions, based on our response, based on what we're doing. We care. We care about that relationship. Like he's a real friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Are you seeking the face of God? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Another instance that it is said that Moses talked face to face with God. It says in Deuteronomy 5:4, the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. And so he not only talked with Moses, but he talked with the people. He talked with them. And matter of fact, when he tried talking with Israel, Israel said, we want to hide from his face. We don't even want to see him anymore. Moses, you go talk to God and you come back and tell us what he said. That was their response to that. We find in Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord knew Moses face to face. What does it mean to speak to the Lord face to face? I believe Exodus 33:11 told us. It says, as a man speaketh unto his friend. When a person is such that we can approach face to face and engage, there's a personal level there, amen? And to be in a position that God is saying to us that we can literally communicate with God face to face, that is powerful. Look over at 2 Corinthians, New Testament, chapter number 4, verse number 6. If you bring this into the New Testament here and try to make some connection here for us as a church and as an individual who's seeking the face of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6. What does it mean to seek God face to face? Do you know God on that level? 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's very interesting. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have in Revelation a picture of Christ and the visage there and the hair and the eyes and how that is. And we understand that the countenance of a Lord is amazing. But when we spend time, that image of Christ, that glory of God, actually attaches itself to you and I. And we see this with Moses when he spent time with God. We see what amazing things Daniel did when he actually sought the face of God, and then amazing stuff came after that. And then we also see in New Testament now this need for us to see the face of God such that now we can be the image bearers, those that emanate the glory of God to a lost and a dying world. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, flip back one chapter, beginning in verse number 2. Before this text, this is what the Bible says. In verse number 2, 2 Corinthians 3, it says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. That's you and I as believers. We are what people read, amen? Let's see how we can become a really good book for them to read. Verse number 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Follow this. This gets really amazing here. Verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now, that's the progression here of the text. God making us able ministers, able representatives of Christ. Who better to represent Christ on earth but someone that has a face-to-face understanding and relationship with Him? It's hard to witness when you don't have a good relationship with God yourself. Isn't that hard? And people can trip you up. They'll try to knock the character of God, and then you'll be tempted to believe them. Oh, yeah, God did do that. Oh, yeah, you can't trust God for not. Whoa, what am I saying? You could very easily get tripped up if you don't have that close relationship there with God yourself. You've spent time with Him. We know Him. We've learned of Him. Verse number 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of a letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now, this is why this is so amazing. We were Old Testament, and we were seeing these different ones, especially Moses, who spent time face to face with God, and it so affected his countenance that people, they couldn't even be around Moses for long because of how it affected them. And what we're going to find here is this, that God is making us able ministers of the New Testament. And He's going to say, what I want to do to you, what I want to bring to light in your countenance from my countenance, we're looking into the face of Jesus Christ so that our face then shines. He says, what Moses shone there in the Old Testament, that is nothing compared to what I have for you, New Testament, now to shine forth. Is that amazing? Verse number 8. He says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. He says, this glory is so glorious, it makes the glory of the Old Testament look like nothing. Verse 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end, that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What this means, if you follow this whole text, is the way Moses got that glory, Old Testament, God wrote that law, delivered unto him, spoke to him by the Spirit, Old Testament, according to the law in that time frame. And it absolutely drastically affected his countenance as he shone forth the glory of God. And Jesus said, in reference to what I'm talking about, the glory that's available to us today makes that look like that wasn't even glorious. Now, how do we receive this glory as believers? Well, first, being a believer, it removes that veil. And the reason the veil needs to be removed is so that now we can see the glory. We can look upon the face of God. The lost world's not looking upon the face of God. I can now look upon the face of God. The veil of unbelief has been removed. Amen. And now I can look upon His face. Look at verse number 18. But we all, this is for all of us as believers today, with open face, meaning Earlier on, it even talked about in the text the simplicity that was there, and in other words, just means that we're not cloaked. We're not cloaked in speech. We're not cloaked in how we approach God. We are open to Him, and this is what it means to seek God's face. I have removed all preconditions. I've just yielded myself a living sacrifice. I am not worried on Him messing up my fun. I am not worried about Him giving me an assignment to do that I'm not going to like. I've taken every objection, everything that would keep me from approaching Him. Everything is gone. I am just simply seeking God's face. I just want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know His word. I want to see Him with His expression express that word to me. I want to be open-faced to Him. I want my face and His face to be right there with each other. I don't want anything hindering our communication. Not my likes, not my dislikes, not my wants, not my thoughts, not what I think. All I want to know is what He has to say and what He wants. If He asks me to do this, I'm doing it. If He makes this request, I don't care. If it's clear, I just want to follow God. I want to communicate with Him like a friend communicates with a friend. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Watch what happens. When we do this, it says that we are changed into the same image. Image of what? Image of Christ. What does it take for you and I to be able to have that glory of God that would excel the glory of Moses? Simply, we just need to spend time looking into the face of Jesus Christ. Because as we do, His glory will change us into His image. It's powerful. Amen? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So I think a couple of thoughts on this. What's it mean to look into the face of God? What's it mean to seek His face, to approach His face and all? I believe, number one, it means that we see Him as a friend. He's not our enemy. He's not against us. If there's anything that you would say, man, I'd serve God, but I'm just afraid He might... That's too bad. You're not really looking for His face, are you? You know, I just don't think I can trust Him. Not much of a friend, is He? You see, when all those things go away, and I can just seek Him without any concern of it not being right, or He might say, I can just openly seek Him. When I can do that, then as I seek God in prayer and in as I read my Bible, I can approach Him as a friend. And I can speak openly and candid with Him about anything, any topic. Do you know that there's no topic that you can't say, oh, I can't talk to God about this. You can talk to God about anything.
Amen.
Oh, no. He can't handle it. Oh, you can handle it. He can't. Oh, you don't think He already knows that's going on? Well, I just don't want to say the words. I thought He was your friend. If He's not your enemy, He's not going to take your words and use them against you. In order for us really to look into God's face like the Bible talks about, we have to see Him first as a friend and remove all those preconditions so that we can, and then realize that when we do that and we approach Him in that way, that His glory will, in a sense, rub off on us. Amen? It's not really rub off. It's like just superimposed, amen. It's like his glory just absolutely changes us so we express his glory. And by the way, if you know somebody that you're trying to help, this is huge. Because people that never grow, whether they say it or not, they keep God in this little box. And they say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I've read my Bible. I pray some, all that. And they treat God like he's this little trinket that's kind of an add-on to their life instead of, no, he's everything to me. He's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's wonderful, you see. And that's the difference. So I believe, maybe you can give a thought, with all that in mind, what do you think seeking the face of God looks like? What's that mean? Yes, Rachel. Looks like a personal relationship. A very raw personal relationship. But good. Amen. I hope you have one of those. Anybody else real quick? Any other thoughts? No? Amen. Hopefully gave you a few things to chew on. Do you have a face-to-face relationship with Christ? That's the question. And if not, I would challenge you and ask, what is in the way that's keeping you from that face-to-face? What are you afraid of? What is it that you're afraid of? And why can't you trust God as a close friend? And then if I was you, I'd work on having that resolved as the first step of you gaining that face-to-face relationship. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you, God, for the scriptures. There's so much more on this topic, but it's obvious that whether we're talking Old Testament, New Testament, really any time frame, that there is a means by which, God, you've made it available for us to seek your face. And there are so many things that go into that on a personal level that really we can meditate upon each individually and then challenge our own relationship that we have with you to see if it's really where it needs to be. But God, I pray that every person here tonight, and even those zooming in, Lord, would be able to challenge their thought tonight in this to see, do they have a friend in Jesus? And do they have that closeness there where they could talk about anything? They're not afraid of what you're communicating, and they want that communication to take place because they're interested. God, I pray you'd help us with this thought. My mind's going kind of just running right now with things. God, I'm thankful for that. God, help us each tonight in our own individual way. And God, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that maybe through it all would say, I don't even have a relationship with Christ, tonight would be a great night for them to come and get that settled, come and deal with the issues of the gospel such that they would be willing to repent and turn unto you for their soul's salvation. But for all those that are already born again, help us to know that first getting saved, that's not the end, that's just the beginning of a wonderful relationship with our wonderful Savior. And Lord, I pray that we could all say tonight that you truly are our closest friend. And if not, examine us tonight and help us to see why not, and help us to work on that, I pray, beginning tonight. We love you now and thank you. Help us with this, I pray, in Jesus' name.